This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just getting rolling right here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. Sitting in for a guy, Craig Kaufman. I'll take you up to 7 o'clock. Terps basketball coming up later tonight. They're at home playing host to USC, looking to keep it rolling. They enter tonight ranked 20th in the nation. Kevin Willard's squad playing really good ball ahead of the conference tournament, and it should be a super exciting month of March. Can't wait to get to it all. We'll continue to discuss this Washington Commanders offseason coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Joe DeLeon, lead draft analyst for A to Z Sports, going to join us as we continue to look at, you know, some day two prospects that the Commanders could be in on. We'll also ask Joe, should the Commanders be trading back? So a lot to get to as we roll throughout the program. Right now, though, I want to continue to lay things out for you all because there is certain perspective that I feel like is missing when we have discussion about this Washington Commanders offseason. I continue to say it. You can argue with your mama. You can argue with somebody you love. To me, this is the most pivotal Commanders offseason of this rebuild. And I know what people are going to say. Well, wasn't last year the most pivotal offseason? No. No, it wasn't. I could have selected Jaden Daniels. Anthony could have selected Jaden Daniels. Some of you all out there could have selected Jaden Daniels. It was a slam dunk, no-brainer home run pick for Adam Peters in this front office. So when I look at last year's offseason relative to this year's offseason, I put a whole lot more importance on this one because now it's about building that foundation. Now it's about capitalizing off of what you were already able to accomplish a season ago. And the thing I want to look at here is how likely is it that Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, the scouts in this front office, how likely is it that they're able to replicate last year's offseason success? What do I mean by that? You can make the argument that the offseason that the Commanders had last year, top to bottom, from free agency to the draft to the waiver wire, you can make an argument it was the best offseason from just a free agent signing standpoint in a long, long time. And I'm not just talking about here locally in Washington. I'm comparing that to other offseasons in the National Football League. The way that they were able to quickly retool this roster on the fly, I'll be real with you. And y'all can paint me negative. You can say whatever the hell you want. I have my serious doubts and reservations that they can replicate that. Think about why this football team was playing in the conference championship this past season. Because they hit on the quarterback, and their key contributors were all signed via free agency. How likely is it that this group can replicate that? I don't know how likely it is. Now, I get it, right? We are supposed to have faith and trust and confidence in Adam Peters in this front office because of his track record in San Francisco. And I totally am on board with that. I understand that thought process wholeheartedly. But when you look at last year's offseason, they knocked the first-round pick out of the park with Jaden Daniels. You have an all-pro, potentially future Hall of Famer, top-five guy at that position. You landed that in year one in the first round. If I'm being real with you, right? If you look at the San Francisco 49ers draft track record in the first round under Adam Peters, not very good. A lot of his hits have come in rounds 4 through 7. So for him to be able to hit on Jaden Daniels, it's number 2 in the draft. I think it's easy for Adam Peters to be able to do that. Should have been. I'm not trying to take it away from him. Like, I understand you draft who is available to you. I'm not knocking him for selecting Jaden Daniels number 2 overall. You'd be crazy if you think I'm doing that. What I'm saying is it was an easy pick. When you look at the 49ers' first-round draft history over Adam Peters' time with San Francisco, it's been some hits. There have been some misses, right? Eric Armstead, 2015. Would you consider that a hit in round one? Maybe. DeForest Buckner, 2016. I think that was his first draft, actually. Would you consider that a hit or a home run? Not necessarily, right? DeForest Buckner, when you draft someone number 7 overall, by the way, let me give you some context to it. They're normally supposed to be viewed as a foundational building block piece. How long was DeForest in San Francisco? I think he got traded before his rookie contract was up. You look at 2017 in San Francisco when they go out and draft Solomon Thomas number 3 overall. Solomon Thomas has turned into a career journeyman. So am I supposed to have confidence that Adam Peters and company are going to go out and hit on pick number 29? I have faith in that group because of the talent acquisition in rounds 4 through 7, where we've seen them hit on guys like George Kittle and DJ Jones and Dre Greenlaw, just to name a few, right? We've seen them have smashing success in the later rounds. But in the first round, it had been perfect. Javon Kinlaw back in 2020, 14th overall. Javon Kinlaw, they may bring him here to Washington in this offseason. So that's a name to look at. But you get my bigger point here. You knocked the first round out of the park last year. Will you be able to do that this year? We talk about all the time team-building mechanisms, team-building strategies. The first order of business when it comes to trying to build a good team, you have to hit in round one. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. In the draft, though, last year, like, I can make an argument that it was an okay draft. I believe it was NFL.com ranked them as the best draft class last year in the NFL. Okay. How much is Jaden Daniels weighted in that? But last year, in round two, you were able to draft a culture setter, a foundational piece in round two with Mikey Samuels still. That's a win. Are you going to hit on your second-round pick this year? You need to. Brandon Coleman in round number 3, I think, is another one of those culture-setting foundational pieces. We don't know whether or not he's a long-term left tackle or a long-term guard, but we do know this. Moving forward, he is going to be a part of the core of your offensive line and the core of your football team. Make no mistake about it. You were able to get good production in a rotational edge piece that contributed in year one in round number 7 with Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Are you going to hit on your 7th-round pick this year? You've got 3 of them. You see what I'm saying here? So it's not a guarantee that last year's offseason success is replicated this year. I think it's going to be hard. And if we're being honest, right, if this group is going to take that projected next step forward, they have to have a similar offseason to last year. And I'm not so sure that that's possible. I mentioned the draft. You crushed free agency. And this is what I really am kind of honing in on and trying to project. You crushed free agency last year in an unprecedented way. When is the last time we have seen that many free agents come from outside of the organization and be able to contribute right away and be able to fit culturally? Doesn't happen that way. There's a reason that teams, the good teams at least, build through the draft. Washington last year said, the hell with the draft. the core of this roster will be built in free agency. And a lot of that had to do with the cupboard being left extremely bare by the previous regime. I get the context that needs to be added to that. I understand wholeheartedly. But let's just call it what it is. They crushed free agency last year in an unprecedented way. You found several core foundational pieces. Let me be real with you. That's not what free agency is for. Free agency is supposed to be to fill holes on your roster. For you to get foundational culture-setting pieces like Frankie Louvu signed to a multi-year deal, Tyler Biadasz signed to a multi-year deal, Dorrance Armstrong, Jeremy Chinn on the one-year deal, that's the other part of this equation. The amount of one-year deals that they were able to hit on, is it realistic to think that that's going to be your success rate each and every offseason? I don't think so. I don't know if that's a realistic thing. But I love it while it's happening, right? I love getting Jeremy Chinn on a one-year deal. He's a priority re-sign for me. He's a part of the core of this team moving forward. And then some of the other one-year deals. Alamide Zaccheaus. Huge. Who would have thought that you would have got that level of production from him? Shout out to the Pro Scouts, who may have already been here in place. I'm not sure. Before Adam Peters and company were brought in here. But when you look at Bobby Wagner, Zach Ertz, like realistically speaking, I remember being right here in this very seat across from Chris Russell the day that Zach Ertz was signed. I clowned the signing immediately. I didn't think he would have any type of impact. I had serious reservations about whether he'd make the final 53. As I sit here on February the 20th, couple of weeks removed from the end of the season, Zach Ertz was arguably your second or third most important offensive piece last year. This offense does not have the success that it has on third down in the red zone without the production of Zach Ertz. It just doesn't happen. So my question is, can you replicate that success? How likely is it that Adam Peters and this Washington Commanders front office can replicate last year's success? 301-230-0980 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take your calls on how likely is it that Adam Peters and company can replicate last year's offensive success. I'll also get deep into the weeds and start judging this Commanders draft class after year one. I mentioned there were a couple of hits, but as we get geared up for year two, the jury very much still out on some key draft picks. Your call's coming up next here on the Team 980.